Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you're not like some that say, come to my house and then you're not home. Or come to my gate and we don't know how to get in. We are so grateful that you left for us the keys of the kingdom. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And a walk, Lord, must be more than a profession. It has to be a possession of life in Christ. And those gates open, not only when we get to heaven, but right now. Heaven can open in our heart while we are here in your presence. Father, I pray your anointing and blessing on your holy word. Open the ears of all that hear, and may what you once said be declared today. Father, we thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. How many know that computers are the great tribulation? That's not the message, but that's my opinion. I sent the word studies to Angela on an email system that wasn't working. Apparently, it took everything else, but apparently that never arrived. So if you're used to having word studies, the sheets, I hope your brain is working today. We'll get them to you after. It'll have to be during the week. But what can we do? A couple weeks ago, little Noah, who probably just went out, little Noah Alexander Herbert, he always comes up and says, Pastor Gene? I just love that. Pastor Gene? He said, do you know what an SUV is? I said, I do. We have one. Well, it's a home away from home. And I said, well, I thought, no, ours is a way to get home. And Jeremy corrected him in love, and because it was on the road, they saw this vehicle, and he thought it was an SUV, but it was really an RV, recreational vehicle. Hey, he had the right alphabet. That's okay, right? Home away from home. If you're in some of those RVs, I've never been in one, because as you know, I don't care to travel. I think the rapture will be quick, so I'm okay with that. But an RV is meant to be a home away from home, to have everything you need inside that vehicle and have things that you probably don't need. There's a lot of RVs that probably are quite expensive, so I was looking on a channel just curious and saw one, $2 million RV, okay. And it said it had a Prevost coach chassis on it. The chassis alone cost $700,000. How'd you like that? Huh? You better be going a long distance to pay that kind of money, right? RV, any kind of thing like that is for the long haul in your journey. I'm hoping that if you did a lot of travel across the country, which a lot of the people in this church seem to do, they're just getting ready for the rapture, but anyway, they're always traveling. You would not do it like in one of those little bugs, would you? Would you like to go across the country in one of those little bugs? You feel every bump, wouldn't you? So, $2 million, it's gorgeous. But you still have to fill the interior. How you like that? Huh? You can get the bed you want. You can get the right feel. Might look like the one that's up there on the screen. Did you know that in a lot of sense, we're not a recreational vehicle, but did you know as a Christian, we are a recreationed one? Do you know that? God created man. Man sinned. God judges sin. Jesus came. He recreated us in his presence and for his purpose. Recreated us to be what we were supposed to be in the first place. And then he did something interesting. He put us in bodies with a chassis underneath. You don't see the chassis, but I can guarantee you there's something holding all of us up. You know what it's called? Breath. We're all a breath from the other side. God gave us one breath at a time. Now, this RV, this recreationed vehicle that we're in, we're supposed to take care of it so it gets there. We're in the long haul. We've got some stuff to do, don't we? So I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 10. This portion of 2 Corinthians is talking about our heavenly dwelling, which is our real home, by the way. The real home in the Bible is in heaven. That is what God created our home to be. Remember, he created hell for the devil and his angels. He never wanted any person to go there. That's not the address he wants for us. If we go there, it's not God's fault. So he's talking here about our body and about our physical dwelling, because we are in this tent, the Bible says. So 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, starting with the 6th verse. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, meaning we're not in the presence of God in heaven. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Right now, would you rather be with the Lord? Well, you want to eat first, and then you want to go. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Now, here's the kicker. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him or her for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. That part is a little bit more difficult, isn't it? How do we treat not only our body, but what we do to it, what we do in it, what we do through it? It's all of those things. It is our coach. It is our vessel as we go down this road of life. It's very important. Now, you'll have your stuff up there. You just won't have a sheet. Okay. First of all, the frame. Chassis is from the French. It's a noun, and it means a frame on which the carriage of a cannon moves back and forth. This is one of the definitions. Some of the parts include the engine, the frame, and the suspension system. So what's going to hold you up is the chassis. What's going to power you forward is in the chassis. Okay, this is the frame that holds the carriage, or in our case, the body, what keeps us going on the road. It is the internal frame of the structure of either an automobile or a TV or whatever, supported on springs attached to axles, which hold the body and the motor. The reason God gives us different illustrations in the Bible so we have a little better idea of what he's talking about. And so when I was thinking about Noah's comment on the home away from home, I thought an RV is a good explanation. Now, we all have different values and accommodations in our RVs, don't we? Some of us spend a little more. Some of us are Christian and save a lot. But we all have a vessel, the body that God wants us to take care of. Okay. And by the way, the word body can also apply to the body of Christ. So when the Lord's talking about the body, keep that in mind. He wants a whole, complete, strong body of Christ as well. And nothing that chips it, nothing that clots it, none of those things. That's another sermon. That's the key to having sermons, is say something so that there's another point, so you have another reason to preach. Yeah. Our body is an interesting thing. And he says here in the fifth verse, I am confident. This word thario means to be of good cheer, to have good courage, and to be confident. How many of you are confident in your future home, meaning heaven? You can raise your hand or not, but 1 John 5:13, these things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. Life is in his Son. There's no more important thing than knowing where you're going. It's important to know where we came from so we can be healed and restored. It's important to know where we are so we can function in today's world. It's most important to know where we're going. Because if we don't know that, this life is not going to make much sense. You're going to scurry around, and I hope if you're here and you don't know that, you don't have that assurance, you will have that before you leave this building today. Our body is the carriage, upheld by the chassis. Who is the power that holds us together, individually, as a church, and as the body of Christ? It is the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't see him, but he's there. He's strong enough to get us to the long haul. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is a long one, folks. Takes us right into eternity. So in the sixth verse, he talks about the body. And he says, therefore, we are always confident and know as long as we're at home in this body, we're away from the Lord. In other words, we're not at home with God. Although he comes and visits us, doesn't he? I pray that you really sense God's presence in your life. Because without him, the lights ain't on, folks. How do you like sitting in the dark? I don't care for it. So Vernita's always screaming, turn off the lights. I like the light. So we're in a body. Greek word is soma. It means body and flesh. It is a physical vessel for the purpose of this world, of course. Originally created by dust and the ground of this earth, which was, by the way, already pre-treated with mist from God. Remember, the mist came up to water the ground. I always tell that to Misty. Misty watercolor memories of the way we were. He pre-treats what he creates. He pre-treated the ground, and he created man. And he created us out of dust. And it's interesting to me, and I was mentioning this a couple weeks ago in something, I'm trying to remember when, but talking about the serpent when he went to Eve and deceived her, and all of this happened. His judgment was to crawl on the ground, on the very ground God created man from. And it's like that cocoon you were having the film the other night. The devil can't get out of the crawling space, folks. He will never fly. He will never soar in eternity. He will never have light because he's under the judgment of God. We still can have light, and we can fly, and we can soar in God's presence. How many are glad about that? Even as a baby, you start by crawling, right? But then you stand up. If a child does not stand at some point, you know something's wrong. We should be standing for Christ. We should be standing in our life, not just trying to get through each day. So our body's at home here. Well, this recreation vehicle that God has given us, the Bible says in the seventh verse, we live by faith, not by sight. Do you know on this chassis what he did? He gave us pistons, like he does in any vehicle. You have to have them. Am I correct, gentlemen? The Greek word for faith is pistis, and it means saving faith, something upon which you can totally put your whole life, your whole weight on it, just like the RV is putting its weight on the chassis. You have to have the piston in there. Otherwise, you don't have power, number one. It's pumping motion within the cylinders and bored in the engine block is the biggest metal part of the motor, the chassis is. But the metal rings encircle the piston with oil lubrication. Hey, folks, you know who's holding us up? It is the Holy Spirit, the oil of gladness. He's the one that helps us in the frictions of this world, lubricates us so we don't bounce off the walls. How many have ever bounced off the walls and you didn't have any mattress there? Yeah, it's not particularly pleasant. The piston is the heart of the automobile, is what I've read. Size of a fist. Did you know your heart is the same size, same shape almost, of a fist? Faith is the heart of your life. It pumps. It is the heartbeat of God. When you put your full weight and your full trust in Jesus Christ, that's what gets you going. Not trust in yourself, not trust in others, or anything like that in any system, but trust in Jesus Christ. It will get you where you need to go. And in this system, there's a rod that connects the piston to the crankshaft, turns the gears that powers the drivetrain. What's the rod that connects us? The cross. Without the cross, you don't have life. I can guarantee you. I believe it so strongly. I believe that had Jesus Christ not died and the cross was not staked into the ground, this creation would have been gone already, because it is the cross and the blood that restored not only us as his highest creation, but also earth. Otherwise, it would be in bigger trouble. And it's in trouble enough, isn't it? So the portion here says, we are confident. In the 8th verse, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Well, this is Paul talking. The man's under persecution. He's constantly running. People are after him. Yeah, he'd rather be with the Lord. It's okay to be with the Lord in the heavenly places. A machete's coming at your throat. Gee whiz. Which would you rather be? Yes, we'd rather be in the safe confines of the world, we understand. But ultimately, wouldn't we all rather be in his presence? Of course, no question about it. There's a bigger picture. We have ambition, or our goal, it says here in the 9th verse. We make it our goal to please God, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. To please him. Our culture is built on pleasing ourselves. I grew up in the 60s. It was all me, 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 me. Still is. Because the generation that's trying to fix this chaos is the ones that probably partly created it. Somebody told me years ago, they said, well, why can't I solve the problem? I said, because you're the problem. That would make it a little difficult, unless you're open to hear. So the word says here, we have a goal or an ambition. Philio time omahi. It is a long word with a couple words in it. It means to love or to seek after, honor, to desire strongly, be zealous, and strive eagerly. Devote yourself to what has great personal value. Phileo is the Greek word for love, friendship, brotherly love, emotional attachment. Time, which is the pronunciation, means to assess personal value. Now, who has more personal value than Jesus Christ? Tell me that. Nobody. How much value do you put in him? How much value do you put in your relationship to Christ and who he is? Every day people make choices, and we base them on our value system. This is more important to me. This is less important. Jesus should always be number one. He should always be top priority. Don't you believe that? Because I got news for you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If he's not number one, he's nothing. That's the truth. He doesn't take second place. He wants number one. Why? So he can help us. So he can lead us. So he can do the things we can't do. It's really in our benefit. Plus, he deserves it. He is honorable. So our bodies are like that RV. How far can we go down the road in the condition we're in? And I'm not just talking about our physical health. I'm talking about our emotional well-being, which is housed inside of our body. I'm talking about our spiritual relationship with Christ, which is housed inside. These are compartments inside the body. They're all connected. God doesn't separate them. They are a whole, like I talked about last week, one whole piece. It's important we connect it all. How many miles can we carry? Now, this last verse, why is this important? Because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're not going to appear in a group. Did you know that? Everybody thinks we're going to go in like a rock concert. We're going to go individually before the presence of God. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's talking to Christians here. That each one may receive what is due him for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, does this mean God doesn't forgive? Of course he forgives. This is talking about the judgment of the saints. There's two judgments you need to keep in mind in the scripture. First one is the great white throne judgment in the book of Revelation. And this is the one where people come before you're either saved or lost. Two categories. There's no third category. Not I'm working on it. Not I did it by works. None of those things. You're either saved or you're lost in God's perspective. And if you're in the lost category, which the greater percentage of people will be because the Bible says few there are that find it. You know what? Any of the works you did won't matter anyway because you're not going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. It's a second judgment. The judgment seat of Christ is for the Christian, the believer, where the works are tested. Remember the Bible talks about wood, hay, and stubble and all that. You know why? Because people are going to bring their works and God's going to say, what are their values? Well, if they're done out of spite or done out of selfishness or done out of a need for me, they're not going to have much value. I can tell you that much. Because again, they're not in our value, they're in God's value. We're all going to appear. And we have to answer for what's done in our RV, our recreation vehicle that God has so brilliantly given back to us and restored out of his glory and his genius. What did we do with his son? What are we doing day to day? What are we doing in our emotional life? Are we talking about Jesus, but then with vehemence, we're destroying people? That's not God's best. That's not what God wants. And along the way, the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us suspended, keeps us going, keeps us rocking. Because we're all going to get to heaven, okay? But we're not all staying there, okay? We're all going to heaven. We're going to stand before God. Now, if you're a believer, and that means not just a profession of faith, but to follow Christ, because if you don't follow him, you won't end up with him. We come before his presence, and we are spared at the day of the great white throne judgment, which I can't think of anything more terrifying. There's no appeals court. You can't go in there with all the things you've done, because if you went in with what you've done, you got to also go in with what you did wrong. If you're going to be honest, you got to balance the trip there. And I'm sure it's going to be like this, because we tend to do more wrong than right on occasion. And the Bible also talks about sins of omission, things we should have done, we didn't do. So there's a lot of things God has in his knowledge that we don't pay attention to. He wants us to know so we're prepared. I can't think of anything worse. You come to someone's house and they go, I invited you? Wouldn't that be horrible? Man, better go to McDonald's because I'm really in the doghouse. God in his mercy tells us ahead of time so we are prepared. That's what he does. And the RV we're in, on the outside, God has given us his protection. He has given us free passage. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But it's what we do with it that we'll be judged by. And I know we all say it's my body. We learned that in the 60s too. It's my body, I can do whatever I want. I can murder babies. I can do anything. No, you can't. You may be the house of that child. You may, but you are not the owner. God owns the child. God gives life. They're just renting until they come forth. It is a very serious thing because God doesn't want people to get there and go, I never heard. I've told you this before. When I was a new Christian, I wouldn't say I totally didn't care if people got saved, but I think I was more concerned about the lost people I didn't know. I was more concerned about someone over here that didn't know the Lord, but now the people I knew, I didn't care. Why? Because I knew them. So I always tell people, if anyone's going to help me move and then they're going to ruin something, I'd rather have it be people I don't know so I don't hate anybody I know. So the Lord, in his mercy, changed my opinion one day when I was praying for my family. And I don't say that I saw the exact great white throne judgment, but that was the idea of it. And I saw them coming up to God, and I was behind it, safe, peeking, because I'm a very curious person. And I saw them come up, and they saw my gaze, and they were judged. The Bible says they will be judged by their works. You know why you'll be judged by your works? Because if you're not under grace, that's all you can bring to them. And it won't be enough. And I saw their faces, and they said to me, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And it broke my heart. Now they're living for the Lord. I'm so grateful. I thought I was going to have to drag them into heaven. Turned out they got on their own feet and went themselves. It is serious, folks. Number one, we don't know how long we have in this earth. We're all a breath away. But secondly, we seem to think that our body and our belongings belong to us. But when you're saved and Jesus is your Lord, everything you have belongs to him. And he gives it back to us out of his mercy. The chassis will hold us up, folks. But we need to take care of it. And if there's any things we're doing, and that's all of us, it can be physically, the way we treat our body, it can be our emotional health, it can be financially, any way that we disregard our personal needs. God wants us to take care of it. So on that road, that RV comes in as it should. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we know we're going to be judged on that body and say, thank you, Lord. I took care of it years ago. I took care of it and I maintained it. I don't think there's anybody in this room that loves their vehicles. And I do think that men by nature love cars more than most things. I'm hoping not more than their wife and family, but I know they love them. Jeremy's smiling. But you take care of what's important to you. The value we place on our spiritual life and upon our body and our emotional health is what God has given us. We need to place a bigger value on it. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads for a moment. If you're here, and first of all, the most important thing is that great white throne judgment. And I'm going to do a message in a couple weeks on the difference between the two in a deeper sense. But right now, you're going to come individually in the presence of God. And while he loves us with an everlasting love, he told us the truth that when we breathe our last breath here, we're either saved or not. We're either in his hands or not. And if you're here today and you're not sure, or maybe you've made a profession, but you're not growing in your faith, you haven't, and there's no fruit. The Bible says there has to be fruit unto the account. Just like an apple tree, you would be able to tell it's an apple tree by the apples it bears. there should be a change in your life. Maybe not as big as you want it, but you can tell there's a change. And you're here and you'd say, you know, I'm just not positive. I want to make sure that should anything happen, I'm ready to stand before Jesus Christ. Not based on my merit or my works, but His grace alone. He died for me. That rod of the cross is the only thing that's going to keep this chassis going and bring me into His presence. And you'd say today with an upraised hand and raise it high so I can see it if you're here, so I can pray for you. Nothing more important in your life than making sure that you are in God's hands. Maybe you're away from the Lord and you've made a confession of faith, but you've walked away from Him. This would be a great day to come home, folks, because Jesus is there and He wants to touch you. Are there any other hands? I want to make sure. I don't want to miss anyone. Okay, Father, I thank you for these hands, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that as they, in this serious moment, relegate their life to you because you gave your life for us. It's not really an even exchange because you were perfect and pure and holy, and you still are, and we are not. But you gave up your life to exchange it so we would have life with you forever. We are eternally grateful that you took us out of the dust as a creation, and then you brought us back to life. Thank you so much. And I pray for these hands that are raised that you would give them that confirmation in the Word of God, and that they would determine that there is nothing more important. You'd never put a baby on a step after birth and expect it to live unless it's tendered and taken care of. It's not going to be taken care of on its own. Lord, it needs to be in your Word and prayer and grow as a believer and follow Jesus Christ. It is the Lordship of Christ that takes us on that journey. God, I pray that you would make this real to each one as they raise their hand today. Then maybe you're here today and you'd say, you know, I'm not taking care of my vessel. Maybe you have emotional issues, anger, bitterness, things like that that are weighing you down. Perhaps you know God's been dealing with you in certain areas of your life, in your habits and in your lifestyle, and God wants to change those because they're detrimental to you. And we could all say that, I'm sure. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, we all want to arrive in the presence of God and stay there. And if you're here and you'd say, I need prayer, and I want to say, Jesus, take my body, take my spirit, take my emotional character and change it under your likeness. I give you full reign and lordship. And you're here, you raise your hand so I can pray for you. This is very important in your personal life. God loves you. He's done it all. We just need to take it and walk with it. Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, for these hands as well, that God, what kind of a response would it be if we said, yeah, Lord, thanks for the gift, but now I'm going to go and spend it with someone else. And not spend it with the one who gave it to us. Lord, you rose from the dead so we could enjoy our relationship with you. And that you could usher us in to the freedom in the Holy Spirit to live and to walk after you and not live for ourselves. Father, I pray that you would grant victory today, Lord, to those that need victory in an area of their life. I pray that you'd release any people from guilt. If there be anything that's weighing them down in their life, give them freedom of knowing that you have forgiven them, or whatever the case might be. Give them eyes to see your word alive. May forgiveness flow from one to the other. All the things, Lord, that you want to do in this recreation vehicle, I pray we'd allow you to do it. Eternity depends upon it. Thank you, Lord, above all, that our viewfinder is you. We look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We don't look to ourselves. We look to you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Bless the presentation of your word into our soul. May it bring eternal work. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may stand for the closing song, and if you'd like to come up and dedicate your life in any way as we're singing this, go right ahead. Feel free. Stand before the Lord one day, we will be by ourselves. But until then, right now, we're together. As we close, if there's something on your heart you want to thank God for it, or anything you want to say to Him, if you'd like to do that, we'll give as many opportunity to do that before God's presence.